بسم الله، الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه موالاه. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So it's early in the morning, and inshallah ta'ala, we can start off by following one of the sunnahs of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that is smiling. Okay? So everybody, begin by smiling inshallah ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, you look better when you smile. I'm going to recite some Quran, then we'll begin.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولقد جاءت رسلنا إبراهيم بالبشرى قالوا سلاما قال سلام فما لبث أن جاء بعجل حنيذ فلما رأى أيديهم لا تصل إليه نكرهم وأوجس منهم خيفة قالوا لا تخف إنا أرسلنا إلى قوم لوط.
In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ ضَيْفِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ إِذْ دَخَلُوا عَلَيْهِ فَقَالُوا سَلَامًا قَالَ سَلَامٌ قَوْمٌ مُنْكَرُونَ فراغ إلى أهله فجاء بعجل سمين فقربه إليهم قال ألا تأكلون فأوجس منهم خيفة قالوا لا تخف وبشروه بغلام عليم.
In these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the guests that came to Ibrahim alayhi salam. And there are other verses in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this story. So it happens multiple times in the Quran. Allah azza wa jal takes care to narrate to us this story again and again. So I ask you this question, what etiquettes do we learn about our guests from this story? Who would like to share with us early in the morning? Yes, brother. It's the salam. Okay, so they said salam. And Ibrahim alayhi salam replied to him. Someone else? Yes? Sorry? Okay, offering the food. Yes, brother? Looking after the guests. Okay? Someone else? Yes? Okay, so he welcomed them, even though he didn't know them, right? But he welcomed them. Someone else? Yes? Offering the best that you have. Alright? Someone else? Someone else? There's more to it. There's more to it. Yes? The smiling, how do you know he smiled? He read into it, huh? Okay, here's just a few of the tips. There's actually, if you look in the tafsirs and the comments of the scholars, there's like dozens of things that they extracted from the story, just in those few verses. One of those things, firstly, as the brother mentioned, is that taking care of the guest, right? There was the salam part. Ibrahim alayhi salam welcomed them before he even knew them. So imagine someone says salam to you and you don't know who they are. What do? Can I help you? Do you need something? Right? Immediately you block the person. Ibrahim alayhi salam immediately invites them in. Right? So they're invited in. He says salam to them. And then he brings them. In one of the verses that we recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, عِجْلٍ حَنِيذٍ. And another verse, it says, عِجْلٍ سَمِينٍ. And basically, it's a huge amount of meat that he brought for them. Plus, it was roasted. So it was the quantity and quality that he brought to them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَا لَبِثَ. That just immediately the food was brought. Even if you think to yourself, how long does it take to cook food like that? You would say it takes hours and hours to cook. But Ibrahim alayhi salam is used to honoring his guests. And so it doesn't take him very long to bring such amount of food to him. Ibrahim alayhi salam, you'll also see in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَقَرَّبَهُ إِلَيْهِمْ. That he, not only did he bring the food, he didn't put it on a buffet table and said, serve yourself. He didn't say that. And actually, I was teaching English to some Arabic students, and I was trying to explain to them what serve yourself translates back into Arabic. اخدم نفسك. And if you understand Arabic, you know how disrespectful that is. Serve yourself. Like the khidma, you're responsible for your own khidma. Right? But this is just common language of ours. It's just our culture that, oh, you know what? Don't be shy. Go and take as much food as you want and so on. But the khidma should be for the guest. So Ibrahim alayhi salam brought the food to them. And not only did he put the food there, he also invited them to eat. فَقَرَّبَهُ إِلَيْهِمْ. Right? So he pushed it closer to them. And then he said, قَالَ أَلَا تَأْكُلُونَ. Won't you eat? So he's inviting them to eat. He didn't ask them, would you guys like some food? He got the food. He brought it in front of them, and he immediately offered to them, and he immediately was asking them to please eat from the food. And then when they didn't eat, you'll see that Ibrahim alayhi salam is following the fact that they're not eating. So much to the point that he actually became scared of them because they weren't eating. But he was still following this. Dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us this story in detail, and it happens multiple times in the Quran, and it's a small glimpse of the khuluq that we should start to learn from the Quran. The characteristic, the good character of a Muslim, you have in this example, and Aisha radiallahu anha, when she was asked about the khuluq of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she said, radiallahu anha, she said, كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ. His character was the Quran. Meaning that the Quran is full of character. The problem is not that, you know, the character and the verses are there in the Quran, throughout the Quran. The problem is that we don't totally comprehend what the Quran is telling us. We don't get the message. And so we look, when I was very young, a verse like, تَبَّتْ يَدَ أَبِي لَهَبٍ وَتَبْ. I'd say to myself, how is that the khuluq of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? But I realized after that understanding of where the khuluq exists in the Quran is from our lack of recitation of the Quran and contemplation. Because when you do look into the Quran, you'll find verse after verse after verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaching us the khuluq of a human being. That this is how a human being has. And let me give you an example of this, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in Surah Al-Balad, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَقْتَحَمَ الْعَقَبَةِ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْعَقَبَةِ. Al-Aqaba is like a mountain pass. It's like racing up into the mountains. Okay? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking about the kuffar, saying that they have not gone up the mountain pass. They've not run up the mountain. And then you're saying to yourself, what is the mountain? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْعَقَبَةِ. And what will make you understand what this aqaba is? We always give this analogy that racing to Jannah is like climbing a mountain. Right? Have you given this analogy before? Or some teacher has told you this? It's in the Quran, Surah Al-Balad, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they have not climbed up this mountain. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains, what is this mountain? وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْعَقَبَةِ. Now, notice with the verses of how does someone get to Jannah and what is the path to Jannah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what's the next verse? فَكُّ رَقَبَةِ. Which means what? Means to free slaves. That's one of the first steps to Jannah, is to care for the slaves in the society and work for their freedom. فَكُّ رَقَبَةِ. أو إطعام في يوم ذي مسغبة يتيما ذا مقربة أو مسكينا ذا متربة. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَكُّ رَقَبَ أو إِطْعَامٌ, or to feed, في يوم ذي مسغبة, on a day which is very hard for the person to feed. Meaning that it's not that we give when we get big fat paychecks and then we say, oh, you know what, let's give sadaqah now. Even in the hard times, the believer is still taking care of those people who are less, they don't have as much as this person. So the person's still feeding. إِطْعَام فِي يَوْمٍ ذِي مَسْغَبَ يَتِيمًا ذَا مَقْرَبَ. A yatim, an orphan, which, as you know, is repeated throughout the Quran, that the khuluq should be in taking care of these orphans. Correct? يَتِيمًا ذَا مَقْرَبَ أَوْ مِسْكِينًا ذَا مَتْرَبَ. And a miskeen, a needy person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes him as the matraba, the one wrapped in turab, which is dust. And so the masakin, even when you picture it, where do you see a needy person who is wrapped in dust? Where does this person happen in society? Where does this happen? These are homeless people, correct? When you see someone's clothing dusty like that, you know they're miskin. And we have them in society. It's just that as Muslims, in generally, we don't take care of them. In general. Do you agree? Do you agree? Or you say, no, there's an organization that does it. In general, we don't take care of them. In general. I'm not saying nobody does it, but in general, people don't take care of them. Usually we say, don't give them money because they're going to buy alcohol and they're going to buy drugs, right? They have to eat as well. They are human beings. And then in another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. We're talking kuffar, kuffar. Who are the kuffar? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, have you seen those who disbelieve in the day of repayment? What do they look like? أَرَأَيْتَ. Have you seen them? And you say, yes, I've seen the kuffar. They're walking around and stuff like that. أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. فَذَٰلِكَ الَّذِي يَدْعُ الْيَتِيمِ. This is the person who repulses and turns away the orphan. Interesting. We don't define the kafir as that. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defines the kafir. أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يَدْعُ الْيَتِيمِ وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. And he does not encourage the feeding of the masakin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, these are the characteristics of the kuffar. Meaning their character characteristics. What's their khuluq? How do they treat the people? And notice in the verses it says, وَلَا يَحُضُّ. He does not encourage the feeding of the masakin. It's not about feeding the miskin. It's actually going around and telling people, we need to feed the masakin. We need to feed those needy people. And so today, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to be speaking about this khuluq, this blessed khuluq that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger guided us to. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that أَقْرَبُكُم مِنِّي مَنْزِلًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَحَاسِنُكُمْ أَخْلَاقًا. He said, the people who will be closest to me on the day of resurrection are those who have who are the best in character. The people who are the best in character will be those closest to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of resurrection. And so a person wants to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wants to come closer and be with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of resurrection. How does one get that? They get it by their kind treatment and good treatment of everyone and everything. This is the khuluq of the Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another verse, وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ. Another verse speaking about feeding the food. This is a repeated verse in the Quran that you'll find all throughout the Quran. So pay attention to it and pay note of it. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us, is to feed people. وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ. That they feed the food for the love of Allah. مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they feed the food for the love of Allah, miskin, which is the needy person, wa yatiman, and the orphans, wa asira, and the prisoners of war. In this verse, it's interesting, very interesting. Who is the prisoner of war? Are we talking about some other battle? Or we're talking about a prisoner that had just fought the Muslim? You're talking about a prisoner from a kafir army who had just taken up arms against the Muslims, probably killed some of the Muslims, and was now captured, and he's in prison, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in the Quran that they feed the food for the love of Allah, this prisoner. Now, if you thought that feeding the food was so that you could get, you know, some thank you, or to get some reward, or something like that, you would never feed a person like that. If it wasn't done for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you'd just leave them hungry and thirsty till the day they die. Who cares about them? They killed this person, Muslim, and they killed this Muslim. Why should we take care of them? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the point is to feed for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Miskeenan wa yateeman wa asira. And their statement when they're feeding the food is, إنما نطعمكم لوجه الله. That indeed, for sure, we're feeding you for the sake of Allah.
لا نريد منكم جزاء ولا شكورا.
That we're not seeking any reward from you, nor are we seeking any thanks. You don't have to say thank you. You don't have to reward us. This food is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us that this is how we should be acting. Teaches us this is the khuluq of the Muslim, that they feed the food. So much so that when these prisoners would come into Muslim custody, they would very much want to become Muslim because of the kind treatment that they would receive. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us something very important about feeding the food for the sake of Allah, the characteristic. When it comes to good character, there are many things that would receive our good character. So the things that would receive our excellent characteristics would be human beings in the normal society, correct? Orphans would receive our good character. The plants, would the plants receive our good character? Correct. The environment, correct? You'd pass and you'd say, I don't want to walk in this area. It might kill these plants or it might harm this plant, that plant. I'm not going to go in this direction. Right? So the plants are going to receive the good character. Are the animals going to receive good character? Yes, you're not going to harm the animals. If you saw little children trying to kick a cat or something like that, harm a dog, you would hold them back. You would not harm the animals. Would your family members receive good character? Now I'm touching on some touchy subjects here. And the answer is yes, they would. If you're a believer. And so, unfortunately, one of the people that receives the worst of our characteristics is our wife. And the husband probably, and I would say this to the women as well, that the person she treats the worst in the whole world is probably her husband. She'd probably treat the prisoner of war better than she'd treat her own husband, right? She said in the Quran, it says, وَيَطْعِمُونَ طَعْمَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ سَكِينَ وَيَتِيمَ وَأَسِيرًا. And so I'm going to be talking about this later, but I just want to bring a point to you that the key in all of this is to feed for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you feed people and if you have good character with them so that you can be compensated for something, it won't work. It's not done for the sake of Allah. And so many times a husband and wife, husband will do something for the wife and say, remember I did such and such for you. And then the wife will say, well, I did such and such for you. I washed the clothes, I washed the dishes, what did you do? The husband says, oh, you know, you don't remember, I dropped you off here and I took you from there and so on and so forth. لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. That doesn't exist in this relationship. The person is doing these actions, remembering them, so that they can at a later time say, I did such and such and I did such and such. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is called الْمَنِّ وَالْأَذَى. This is called where you remind a person of the good that you did to them, which is haram. That you go, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَوْلٌ مَعْرُوفٌ مَغْفِرَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِّن صَدَقَةٍ يَتْبَعُهَا أَذَى. That just say a kind word is better for you than to give sadaqah and then follow it up with adha, harming the person. Imagine you gave 1,000 pounds to someone. They needed help, 1,000 pounds. Every time you met them at the masjid, you said, remember, I gave you the 1,000 pounds. And you keep winking at the person. Every time they say something or do something, remember the 1,000 pounds we gave you? And this is, subhanAllah, something that as children you may remember, right? As children, you may have done this as a child and forgotten about it. Now you just do it to your wife or your wife just does it to you. As a child, little children will say, you know, one child has a bag of crisps and someone will say to him, remember I gave you crisps that day? You know, you should give me back. So every time the person has food, he's reminded of the day that he was given food. This is adha. A person doesn't do this. And so, at-ta'am at-ta'am, feeding the food has to be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next time you're reminding someone, if your wife does it to you or your husband does it to you, then don't indulge in this practice. They may say, I did such and such for you. And you keep quiet. Yes, you did. From your good character is patience. From your good character is forgiveness. All of these things. And when you have those characteristics, subhanAllah, how can anything be wrong with your marriage? Because the person starts to copy. Like attracts like. If you're forgiving and patient, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless you to be in the companionship of someone who is forgiving and patient. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is, I've actually, you know, subhanAllah, this past summer, I went to one of the bookstores and I got a big book on khuluq. And I sat there, Masjid Nabawi was reading because this topic is very dear to me and it's a very important topic, this issue of khuluq. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam actually gave us a distinction. There are characteristics that are natural to us. And there's some characteristics that we need to learn. So some people, for example, by their nature, they're generous people, right? And you might know people in your culture or so on. They're just, if there's someone who's generous, it's this person. If everybody else is eating, this person doesn't eat until he's made sure everybody else has eaten. It's their nature. And so some characteristics are natural, and then some characteristics are not natural, meaning the person has to learn to adopt these characteristics, such as, for example, the husband-wife relationship, generosity doesn't come natural, right? It doesn't come natural, it has to be learned. And so it's an amazing thing that the author that was speaking, he said, when a person has natural characteristics, and this is something you need to think of, what are your natural characteristics? What are the things that you're good at naturally? And if you focus on those good characteristics and start to enhance them, you'll find that you'll start to be known and you'll start to excel in these characteristics. So one person may be very generous. And so if they keep doing this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places amongst those who are generous. Someone else is exceptionally patient. You can't make them angry. And so they teach this to others and they excel in it and so on and so forth. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to one of the companions, "Inna fika khaslatan yuhibbahumullah," that you have two characteristics that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves these characteristics. The two characteristics were al-hilmu wal-ana. Hilm is like kindness. And ana is like the person takes his time and deliberates. Things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. I'm going to go through a list of some of the characteristics that we're taught in the Sharia, so that inshallah ta'ala this won't just be theory, but we can start to learn some of the adab as taught to us by Allah and His Messenger. One of these first adab is al-isti'dhan. Al-isti'dhan is to ask permission before entering one's house, or, you know, asking permission. And so, in the famous story, Umar radiallahu anhu, someone came to his door, knocked three times, and then left. Umar radiallahu anhu came out after that and said, you know, why did you just knock on my door and leave? And this man said, this is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Umar radiallahu anhu said, I've never heard of this. And he grabbed him and he said, go and bring me proof or else, you know, you're in big trouble. And so this man went to the marketplace and he found some people who testified for him. And Umar radiallahu anhu said, subhanAllah, I didn't pick this up from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the isti'dhan means that when you go to someone's house, in the olden days, if you're going to someone's house, you can't phone them ahead of time. So you would come and knock at their door. And they may be in a moment where they're not able to open the door. And so you knock once, you know, calm, knock twice, knock three times, nobody answered, you leave. Now this may be hard for someone. They might say, no, maybe they're sleep, maybe this, maybe that. I don't want to leave. They've knocked three times, but you go. And sometimes on the phone, you'll see some people they're trying to get in contact with, they don't stop. They keep ringing again and again and again. After the phone goes to voicemail, they phone again and they keep phoning. A person, from the adab of the Muslim that they don't do such things. Al-isti'dhanu thalathan, they ask three times, and as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن قِيلَ لَكُمْ ارْجِعُوا فَارْجِعُوا. And if it's said to you, go home or go back, then you go back. Meaning that even in isti'dhan, if someone comes to your house, or you go to someone's house, and they're knowledgeable of the sunnah, and they say, go back. You don't feel bad or anything like that. They're just in a difficult moment. Maybe it's time for them to sleep, maybe something, and they tell you, go back. And so no problem, come back another day, inshallah ta'ala. The mercy. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man la yarham la yurham." Whoever doesn't have mercy on people, that the merciful will not be merciful to them, or they won't find mercy. And so where does mercy come into play? Imagine, for example, the mercy of a mother. The mercy of a mother. and how she prefers her children over herself. So a mother, if she had, at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this woman had some dates, she asked Aisha radiallahu anha for some dates, and Aisha radiallahu anha gave her some dates, which was not enough for her and her children. So she took the date, divided it, and gave it to the children, and didn't eat anything herself. And then Aisha radiallahu anha is so amazed by her khuluq and her mercy to her children, that she told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about this. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that these daughters of hers would be a hijab for her on the day of resurrection from hellfire. The way that she took care of them. Now, I give you this example of, let's say it's an iftar at the masjid. Iftars are coming up, right? Number one thing that you want to ask yourself, are the masakeen invited to the iftar? In most cases, they're not invited. Meaning that usually when there's an iftar going on, it's the group of families that are in the masjid normally that have come together that have eating. And they'll say, open iftar, but is it really open or not? Has someone actually gone into streets and found masakin and invited them and made them welcome in the masjid? That's the first thing you want to look at. Number two is, when people are eating, do you feed yourself first or do you feed the other people? And so one of the things you might look into doing is being one of the servers, one of the people that serves the food. Your heart will say, no, but I won't get food myself. Correct? It has been my experience that when you're the server, you get the best food. Because by the time it's time for you to eat, the food has run out. And so they have to order some more food when everybody else has eaten, and you get the best food, inshallah ta'ala. This is usually the case. So you become one of the servers, one of the people that eats last. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of the adab as well, is the person who's pouring the water or the milk or whatever they're pouring should be the last one to drink. Right? So as soon as you take the jug or you take the soda or whatever you're taking, when you start pouring, you don't pour for yourself, put the drink down and walk away. You don't do that. Instead, you start pouring for everybody else. So suppose you get to the table that has the water and the drinks. You pour, give to the person beside you, pour, give to the person. Everybody around you should have their drinks in their hand. And after they've taken their drinks, then you take your drink, and then you walk away, inshallah ta'ala. Having mercy on the people. There's a joke. Would you guys like to hear a joke? Yes? Is that alright with you? There was these two brothers, and they're in line for the iftar, right? And so as they're getting closer and closer to the food, by the time they arrived, there was only two pieces of meat left. Just two brothers left in the line. One of the pieces of meat was very big. And the other one was very small, just a piece of bone and so on. And so the brother who's in front took the big piece of meat and left the bone for his brother behind him. And so his brother behind him, he said, hold on, brother. He said, this isn't good adab. You didn't hear Muhammad al-Sharif's lecture? It's not adab. You know, you prefer others to yourself, you know, loving others, loving for your brother what you love for yourself and so on. And so you shouldn't have done this. You shouldn't have left this small bone. And so the brother that was in front of him, he said, if you were in my place, what piece would you have taken? And he said, I would have taken the small bone. And he said, there it is. All right. In another example, the khuluq that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught, there was a child that was eating with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there was elders there, and this child was basically just following where the meat was in the plate. Just wherever the meat was, child's going in front of everybody, pulling meat towards him and so on. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ya ghulam, سَمِّ اللَّهِ وَكُلْ بِيَمِينِكَ وَكُلْ مِمَّا يَلِيكَ. He said, oh young boy, and just kind words, the Prophet ﷺ is teaching him how to eat. سَمِّ اللَّهِ, say Bismillah. So when you're going to eat, you say Bismillah. وَكُلْ بِيَمِينِكَ, eat with your right hand. And I've noticed this a lot. A lot of times, even amongst Muslims, they're drinking with their left hand, sometimes in a lecture like this. And you think that everybody knows this sunnah, but it's a reminder. We eat and we drink with our right hand, not our left hand. So you might be writing in a lecture, you don't start drinking like this in the lecture with your left hand. Inshallah ta'ala, if your parents hadn't raised you with this as a khuluq that you must adopt. The Prophet ﷺ said that the shaitan eats and drinks with his left hand. And so we don't eat and drink with our left hand, with the right hand. So we eat and drink with our right hand. Samillah wa kul bi yaminik wa kul mimma yalik. And eat that which is in front of you. Meaning that in a bowl, if you're eating with multiple people, you're eating the food that's in front of you. You're not taking from this side or that side. You take from the position in front of you. And in fact, interestingly, I would say from the khuluq of a Muslim, this is what you should do as well. If there's some meat, you take the meat, break it up, and start putting it in front of the people that are eating with you. So that it's not that, oh, you were lucky that the meat was in front of you and it's their fault there's no meat. You take the meat that's in front of you. You notice that they don't have meat in front of them. Take it and put it in front of them and serve them and prefer them. There was, in this talk of khuluq, I remember one imam that we had visited. We were just passing by in one city near like the US-Canadian border. And his khuluq was so amazing to me that I never forgot his khuluq. And this is what he did for us. When we had come to visit, we'd actually gone and eaten, me and a brother. And then the brother's father was sitting with the imam. And the imam wouldn't let him go until food was brought. And so he said, no, we have to leave. We can get food on the way and so on. No, he insisted. In fact, the food for some reason was coming late and this and that. But he insisted that we not leave until the food came. So we waited a very long time and then finally the food came and we had to leave. So we took the food with us. My friend's father asked him where the border was. And he said, I'll drive you there. And so who does that? That they said, no, where's the border? And they'll say, no, come in the car, follow me. I'll take you to the border. We're driving for like 45 minutes so that we don't get lost. On the way to the border, he stopped. And then we followed him into like the service station and he went inside and he purchased some things. He came out and he had bought all this juice and soda and all of these things. He said, this is for all of you. And he gave it to us, got back in the car and took us to the border. And I noticed many things in his characteristic and going out of his way, even though he didn't need to, he also did not ask us if we needed any food or we needed any drink. He got it for us without asking us, which is something I want you to pay attention to. Many times if you ask your guests, would you like to eat? What will they say? They'll say no. So why are you asking them? Right? You know they're going to say no. You don't want to eat, right? This is the way we approach our guests. Instead, what you do is you just bring the food for them. Let's suppose they prefer some other type of food. Bring two types of food. You'd have, for example, you bring food to the guest, say, this one is spicy, this one isn't spicy. I'm not sure what your preference is, but bismillah, whichever one you prefer. A person, what kind of drink would they like? Allahu a'lam, what kind of drink that you bring all the types of drinks. You have water, juice, and maybe soda, and say, here are these types of drinks, whichever you would like. And then you offer them, encourage them, please eat, and then they say no. You'll see a little hesitation. Yes, they do want it, but they're just being polite, and so you insist that they take it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the opposite side, which are bad characteristics. A person can get extremely far from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with bad characteristics. So of these bad characteristics is backbiting. Speaking about people, trying to make fun of people and so on. Aisha radiallahu anha in this hadith, she spoke about Safiya radiallahu anha. And she said, Hasbuka min Safiya. She said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she said, watch out for Safiya. And you'll see in the hadith it says Ta'ni Qasira, meaning that Safiya radiallahu anha was short. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to her, Laqad qulti kalima. He said, you've said a word, Law muzijat bima al bahr lamazajathu. Which means that you've said a word that if you mix it with the water of the sea, that it will overcome the water of the sea. Meaning the water will not be able to purify that statement. And you imagine that, a statement. And even she didn't even say something specific, radiallahu ta'ala anha, but it's a lesson for all of us. That these words that people say to each other, and I'll give you this example. When Muslims meet each other, sometimes they use mocking words to greet their Muslim brothers and sisters. And I'll give you an example of that. A sister meets another. Sisters know this very well. Assalamu alaikum, sister. How are you? You're not married yet? Oh, how many years has it been? And then when she's married, then they said, Assalamu alaikum, mashallah, you've been married now. How long have you been married? Still no children? Subhanallah. What's wrong? Are you, you know, birth control or something like that? And then when she has children, then the person comes in, Assalamu alaikum, when was the last time you had a child? All these years you still haven't had another child. What's wrong? What are you waiting for? Is something wrong? And so, and that might be, say, with the sisters, with the brothers, equally it could happen. You meet a brother, you say, oh, you're not married yet. You might not realize that this hurts people's feelings. And that's not from the khuluq of the Muslim. Someone may have gained weight. And what does everybody do then? Assalamu alaikum, how are you doing? SubhanAllah, you put on some weight. Every time someone meets the person, this is how they greet them. Is this the khuluq of the Muslim? It's like you couldn't think of anything better to say than to criticize the person and mock them and hurt them. And you can see in their face, subhanAllah, when this happens, you see in their face that they're hurt. That the person can see that they just hurt their brother. They just hurt their sister. And so it's best that they kept quiet. In fact, if you see this happen, that you come to the defense of the person. And you block the person from continuing in such talk. It's not that you leave the person to be ridiculed and mocked in a public gathering. Change the subject. Move along and advise the person that's saying that, that this is not how we act amongst our Muslim brothers and sisters. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he also taught us that there are certain khuluq that in society might not be considered as proper etiquette. Yet it's the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'll give you an example of that. In some cultures, before they finish their food, they leave some food, right? I'm not sure if it's, I know in Egyptian culture, it's among some. You guys have cultures like that? It's like proper etiquette to not complete your food in these cultures. And that is something that a Muslim doesn't do. So a Muslim finishes his drink, finishes his food, and then if they want to insist that they put more food and so on, the person just covers the cup or says, Jazakallah khairan. And they'll insist on you, Jazakallah khairan. They'll insist a third time, Jazakallah khairan. Alhamdulillah, good etiquette. You know, they learned from the lecture, alhamdulillah. And you also learn that you just put your hand over your plate, inshallah, nobody will put food over your plate. But you finished your food. You'll see in other cultures, they might not respect those who eat with their hands. Or they might not respect people who sit on the floor and eat. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat on the floor and ate. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ate with his hands. And so if this is the case, then nobody should be ashamed to do these things. Nobody should be ashamed. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a woman actually, she came by and she was mocking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and she said, look at him, he sits just like a slave. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded, he said, wa ayyu 'abdin a'badu minni. He said, and which slave is more servant to his master than me? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so and another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, innama ana abd. Indeed, I'm a slave. Ajrisu kama yajrisu al-abdu, akulu kama yakulu al-abd. He said, I sit like a slave sits, and I eat like a slave eats. This is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the humbleness that one has. That they don't have to sit on a throne when they're eating. They don't have to have all these luxuries. That they can sit down on the ground and there's nothing wrong with that. Sitting on the ground, eating with one's hand, sharing from one plate and so on. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِ. The best of you are those who are best to their family, best to their wives. وَأَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِ. And I am the best to my wife. This hadith, I'm sure you've heard before. Correct? The problem is that a lot of us don't implement it. And we don't seek to be the best in the community. We seek significance through our wallets. And we seek significance through our cars. And so someone comes in this type of car, they're significant. And we think that they're the best amongst us. or someone pulls out lots of money, we think that they're best amongst us. But those aren't the criteria in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the sight of Allah, the person with the best characteristic is the most significant. They are the best person. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the best one amongst you is the person who's best to their family members. Best to their wives, best to their family members. Now, before a person starts trying to implement this hadith with strangers, I would advise you that the first person you implement this with are those closest to you. Those closest to you. Those who know you the best. Those who know that when you're outside treating other people good, that it's not a show. That you really are like this inside your house. This is, truly is your characteristic. And so my advice to the brothers, inshallah ta'ala, I know a lot of times they'll say, but the sisters did this. And we're back to the menni wal adha thing, right? I did this for her, she didn't do that for me. Forget that. Forget that. We're looking straight at between you and the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, treating your family good. Treating your family good. So let's imagine this scenario. Last night, your wife was very harsh with you. And I'm sure this has been the case if some of you brought your wives here, right? She was very harsh. She treated you badly. Maybe she stood you up somewhere. You told her, let's go. And she said, no, she sat down. She's not going. She embarrassed you in public. Something like this. Now, this morning, she needs you for something. Let's suppose she needs food and she doesn't want to go out. Or she needs something from you. In the morning, do you say, remember last night you did this to me? Right? Now I have the opportunity to pay you back. I can hurt you the way you hurt me. This could be the reaction of the brother, and unfortunately, this is the reaction of most people. This is what the brother remembers at that time, that all these verses that we mentioned, وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ, that they feed the food for the love of Allah. And the brother remembers that the Prophet ﷺ said, رِفْقًا بِالْقَوَارِيرِ. He said, treat the vessels, these fragile vessels, treat them gently. Treat them gently. She's not a man. You didn't marry a man that you're going to fight with. That they can stand up and every time, you know, one hit and one hit back. This is not the case. You're dealing with from the opposite gender. And so the brother remembers all these hadith of the Prophet, all these verses of Quran. And so they feed the food for the sake of Allah. And they treat their spouse kindly for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether they understand or whether they don't understand it, that's not your concern. Your concern is to do things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even those who treat you badly, such as the prisoner of war. Just say to yourself, is she worse than a prisoner of war? The answer is no. Then why would you feed a prisoner of war and you're not going to take care of your own wife? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, when the man came and asked him, who has more right, who has more right to be my friend? And the Prophet ﷺ said, your mother. And you know the hadith very well, correct? And then he said again, who after that? The Prophet ﷺ said, your mother. Who after that? Your mother. Who after that? And he said, your father. Now here's a problem that happens. We know, obviously, the etiquette that's due to one's parents, this is part of the adab of the Muslim. One of the problems that happens, very famous in our community, is the mother-in-law versus wife. All right? Which I'm sure you're very familiar with. So what the mother does is she says to her son, if you believe this hadith, you will treat your wife badly for my sake. Right? And she starts saying, doesn't Islam say this about the wife, about the mother, and this about the mother, this about the mother? Islam also says good things about the wife as well. That the person treats their wife kindly as well. And so a woman should not request bad character of her son or bad character of another family to another woman in the group. To another woman in the family. That's not husnul khuluq. Right? And that's a person misunderstanding this hadith. The hadith, a person doesn't apply them so that they can treat someone else badly and say, Prophet ﷺ said this, so treat that other person badly. This is not the case. And we'd ask that a person fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and ask the sisters to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe the wife right now is on the receiving end of a mother-in-law treating her this way. Soon, inshallah ta'ala, she will be a mother-in-law. And she may do the same thing. And so she has to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and treat people the way that they want it to be treated and not learn these bad characteristics. And inshallah ta'ala, if there are any mothers that are doing these things, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us all to the straight path. In conclusion, inshallah ta'ala, I'd recommend this month of Ramadan. It's an opportunity to learn and train oneself in these good characteristics. You will have many opportunities to do this. There's going to be many iftars at the masjids and different places. You will have the opportunity to volunteer. You will have the opportunity to serve people. You'll have the opportunity to get the ajr. The Prophet ﷺ said that whoever feeds a fasting person gets the reward, the same reward as that fasting person, without diminishing in the reward of the fasting person at all. And so you, the more people that you feed, the more people that you take care of, inshallah ta'ala, you'll gain the ajr of all these fasting people without diminishing in their ajr. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises you in rank and raises you in reward because of this. The month of Ramadan, and I say it's a month of training, and actually the lecture after this is about Ramadan, but it's a month of training, meaning that these aren't characteristics that you only adopt in Ramadan. These are characteristics that you apply all year long. You may intensify it in Ramadan, but all year long you're doing these things. As a needy person, he was once eating this food, a sheikh asked him, and he said, "What are you doing?" He's like, "You know, we have these samosas and we're very happy." He said, "Why are you so happy?" He said, "Because the month of Ramadan comes." He's like, "We never get to eat this except in Ramadan, because nobody gives food outside of Ramadan. They're only giving in Ramadan." And so in Ramadan, everybody will try to pay their zakah, correct? Is there some injunction that says you pay zakah in Ramadan? We just do because we don't know how to pay zakah. So we just pay whatever every Ramadan. When do people get zakah money outside of Ramadan? They don't. Because zakah has to be paid immediately. You pay it and it goes to the needy. So the needy get this surplus of money coming to them in Ramadan. Outside of Ramadan, nobody's giving zakah, because people aren't properly processing the zakah payments. They're not properly processing it in when the nisab is due and so on and so forth. The hawl. And so it's characteristic that one learns for Ramadan and all throughout the year, inshallah ta'ala. I'm giving you this message. Hopefully you can share it with other people. The brother mentioned our website, almaghrib.org. Just a little note about it. Al-Maghrib Institute, we've been conducting seminars here in London. We've done it for the past few months. And so inshallah ta'ala, if you're interested in these seminars, one of these seminars is coming up very soon. If you go to almaghrib.org, almaghrib, and you can learn more about our institute, inshallah ta'ala, Al-Maghrib Institute. Assalamu alaikum.
Jazakallah khairan, Sheikh. May Allah give us the tawfiq to take the advice to heart and transform our morals and manners, inshallah.